The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
I'm humbled by what has happened, and I renew my wholehearted apology for the gathering in the Cabinet room on the 19th of June, 2020.
I can't say whether he'll be Prime Minister going into 2023, but I don't think that he will lead the party into the next general election.
Why does the Prime Minister think everybody else's actions have consequences except his own?
You're listening to Bloomberg Westminster, your daily guide to British politics. I'm Stephen Carroll.
And good afternoon, I'm Caroline Hepke. Coming up on today's programme, as Boris Johnson clings to power, we speak to the SNP's Douglas Chapman.
Plus, we'll hear from the Tory MPs Daniel Kaczynski and Bob Blackman for their view on the Prime Minister's future.
But first, Boris Johnson is fighting for his political life after the Chancellor, the Health Secretary and a string of junior ministers quit their jobs over the latest sleaze allegations in the Conservative Party. The Prime Minister is facing MPs twice today, first at PMQs, then in front of the Liaison Committee. He'll be tackling questions on Rishi Sunak and Sajid Javid's resignations, as well as his handling of misconduct allegations against the Tory MP, Chris Pincher.
Meanwhile, Boris Johnson's new Chancellor insists there is no vacancy at number 10. Nadeem Zahawi was appointed to the position last night. He's trying to shift the focus away from Johnson and to the economy.
I will be working very hard to make sure that this team continues to deliver. The Prime Minister is focused on delivery, delivery, delivery. I want to make sure that not only do we rebuild the economy, we've got to grow the economy.
Chancellor Zahawi there. Well, there have been a string of junior ministers resigning this morning, including the Economic Secretary to the Treasury, John Glenn. The Labour Party, meanwhile, is calling for a snap general election. Shadow Chancellor Rachel Reeves says the government is failing.
I don't know how long he'll be in the job. The Prime Minister's under huge pressure, but I just don't know how Nadeem Zahawi can seek promotion in a government that is sinking. And to go out and defend the indefensible, which is what he will be having to do now, day after day. Show some principle, show some backbone, show the leadership that this country needs by pulling the plug on this failing government.
That's Labour's Rachel Reeves. A snap YouGov polls found that 7 in 10 people think Boris Johnson should now resign. But of the 3,000 surveyed, only 21% think the Prime Minister will actually go. More than half thought Chancellor Rishi Sunak was right to leave his job in the Cabinet.
So Boris Johnson's fate now yet again lies in the hands of his own party. Rank and file Conservatives on the 1922 committee are meeting today to discuss Johnson and changing rules to allow a leadership ballot. That according to a person familiar with the matter. Under the current rules, of course, Johnson can't face another challenge for a year. But with new members on the committee being voted in next week, that could all change. We've been speaking to Bob Blackman, the Conservative MP and Joint Secretary of that key committee.
Yes, I mean, obviously it's regrettable when any cabinet minister or junior minister steps down from government, and they will be a loss to the government. But I think there's more to the story probably than is covered, because there there were clearly some disagreements on policy between the Prime Minister and the Chancellor, or the ex-Chancellor, and probably also on the health service as well. And bear in mind that for Sajid Javid, it's the second time that he's resigned from the government led by Boris Johnson. So this is not the first time he's done it. That's clearly destabilising. And what needs to happen now is obviously they've both been replaced, and a key appointment still awaits, and that is the party chairman, where Oliver Dowden had stepped down from his position after the by-elections. So, this is destabilising for the government, but the government will now pursue.
Yeah, to many listening, that will sound as an understatement, to say the least. Do you still have faith in this Prime Minister?
Well, it's not for me or others. I mean, basically, the party took a decision.
Well, you're a member of the party. You're a member of the party. You have a position. Yeah, you can make that position clear this morning, whether or not you support Boris Johnson, despite everything.
We're not all going to
come
on to the radio stations and start saying declarations of support or otherwise, because, I mean, that, frankly, what I want to see is the government getting us back onto getting the job done, which is, as you quite rightly said at the top of the programme here, we face economic challenges all over the place. So I want to just get back to a position whereby we're improving growth in the economy, and that probably means reviewing our position over company taxation. At the moment, company taxation is due to rise in the UK. I don't think that's the right course of action. Mm-hmm. I also want to see action on reducing taxes overall for individuals to lessen the impact of the cost of living challenges that we've got. And that's the job of government, to get on with that. And that's what people want to see in this country, not constant speculation about either the Prime Minister's future or indeed other particular ministers' futures, because the government is getting on with legislation. And, you know, all this week and previous weeks, we've been passing legislation with very comfortable majorities.
Yes.
And what that means is that there's a government there to get on with the
okay.
job.
But Rishi Sunak was Chancellor. He talked in his resignation letter about the public rightly expecting government, in his words, to be conducted properly, competently and seriously. That is more than just a policy disagreement.
Yes, because one of the issues here is, I'm sure, that there's been disagreement on policy, which is the issue that Rishi was raising about him disagreeing with the Prime Minister. Now, if that disagreement is going on, then one of two things has to happen. Either the Chancellor has to resign under those circumstances, which he's chosen to do, or else they have to reach a compromise between them. Mm. Clearly, there wasn't going to be a compromise.
Okay, Bob, I'm sorry. I want to get in my next thought, which is around the 1922 rules. Obviously, there are new committee members that are going to be voted on. We don't exactly know the timetable. Your team has yet to release that. Should the 1922 committee rules be changed in order to allow more frequent confidence votes? I imagine your answer may be no, but that seems to be the zeitgeist of what some MPs want to happen now.
Yeah, I mean, the position here is that we have elections to the 22 committee at the start of every parliamentary session. For various reasons, the elections were delayed. The elections have generally been every summer before the summer recess. So they're due to happen. So elections will be held. Then obviously there's consideration of what to do. At the moment, the current position is that if a vote of confidence is held, and the trigger for that is 15% of the Conservative Party writing to the chairman of the 1922 committee asking for such a vote.
So that was the Conservative MP and Joint Secretary of the 1922 committee, Bob Blackman, speaking to Tom McKenzie and I earlier on Bloomberg Radio.
Now, as Chancellor, Nadeem Zahawi was taking over management of the UK economy at a time when the country is facing the worst cost of living crisis in a generation. Earlier, Anna Edwards and I spoke to Daniel Kaczynski, Conservative MP and the Prime Minister's trade envoy to Mongolia. He said that Nadeem Zahawi's economic vision is more closely aligned to the Prime Minister's than Rishi Sunak's.
The introduction of Nadeem Zahawi is very, very interesting. I was on the Foreign Affairs Select Committee with Nadeem Zahawi. He's a very, very credible and good chancellor, very former successful businessman. And I think he can and will take the difficult, hard measures that are required for the economy, bearing in mind the crisis that we are facing, both in terms of inflation and the cost of living crisis. I'm a fiscal conservative, a very hawkish fiscal conservative, and there are many of us in the Conservative Parliamentary Party. But we want radical measures now to cut taxation and increase borrowing simply because of the difficulties the country is going through. And I think you'll find that Nadeem Zahawi is prepared to do that, whereas Rishi Sunak wasn't.
Are there risks attached to cutting taxes because that could be inflationary, and risks attached to increasing borrowing because the markets sometimes don't like that very much?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, there are risks, significant risks. But I think the United Kingdom continues to enjoy credibility on the international markets. Don't forget, they attacked us, the Labour Party attacked us for austerity when we came into office 12 years ago. It's a very good job that we reduced the deficit over those 10 years. That gives us a little bit more leeway and flexibility now to go to the markets and borrow. Okay, there is also additional risk by not taking these radical actions, because we've seen so far from the previous chancellor sticking plasters. We need significant action in order to get the United Kingdom economy back on track.
Can I ask you, is fiscal conservatism not about reducing borrowing now then?
Of course it is. And I backed from 2010 to 2019, I backed the program of reducing the deficit every year. As I said to you before, we were attacked by the Labour Party. They called it austerity. We called it living within your means. But at the moment today, we face an exceptional global crisis, both in terms of the war with Russia, but also the hyperinflation that has descended on us from overseas. That requires radical action, and I think the new Chancellor is prepared to do it. We'll have to wait and see what he does over the coming days. I was texting him earlier this morning, and I think I've got every confidence that there will be a significant change in the Treasury.
There's also a question of how long he'll actually be in the job, because there are elections to the 1922 committee of the Conservative Party, those committee that has that could consider to change the rules and allow another challenge to Boris Johnson's leadership. Do you think that that's a real possibility?
Well, there are internal deliberations within the Conservative Parliamentary Party, as there are within the internal workings of the Labour Party. And, you know, these challenges take place frequently. The most important thing is that we don't change the rules. I think if the losers, and by the way, the Prime Minister has just very, very recently won a vote of confidence amongst the parliamentary party, if the losers now want to, because they lost and didn't get the result that they wanted, now they want to change the rules, then we're setting a very dangerous precedent, because all future Conservative Prime Ministers will have a guillotine hanging over them, and their administration could be terminated at any time. Now, that is no practical way in reality to run a government. There needs to be annual assessments of whether or not an individual can or should be the leader of the Conservative Party and ultimately the Prime Minister.
But is Boris Johnson not irreparably damaged by this scandal and seeing so many of his senior ministers stepping out of their jobs?
Well, I think if you have people like Ben Wallace, I mean, if he's prepared to serve in the Johnson cabinet alongside Nadeem Zahawi and some of the other big hitters, then of course that's a very clear, strong signal to the backbenchers.
Hi, I'm Ron Kraszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. Imagine having the resources of the largest wirehouses and the support of the boutique shops, but none of the bureaucracy to get in the way of you serving your clients. At Stifel, it's your business, your book, your clients. I always tell the advisors we're recruiting, I want you to come to Stifel and double or triple your business. Most of them laugh and shake their heads, but I'm serious. Don't take it from me. Take it from Stifel's number one finish in J.D. Power's 2023 U.S. Financial Advisor Satisfaction Study. So there's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Well, while Conservative MPs are sorting out their position on their leader, Labour has called for a snap election. That could be a risky strategy, though, for the party, as we've been discussing with Ben Page, the chief executive of the polling company Ipsos. He thinks that Boris Johnson's days in power are numbered.
Well, he will bluster it out, but as we know, all political careers end in failure, and this one is pretty close to the end now, I think. I mean, we'll see. But it's just one thing after the other. And I think the most striking thing in my data is that the proportion of people in Britain who think the Conservative Party, let alone Boris Johnson, is fit to govern, has fallen pretty much to the lowest level in decades, halved from around 4 out of 10 to 21%. The only thing in some ways helping them is that the Labour Party, led by Keir Starmer, isn't doing massively better. It's got 33% that say it's fit to govern.
Is it wiser in all of this for Labour to call for a snap election if you say the polling is so weak?
Well, they're ahead in the polls, and if you know they've got a 9-point lead in our latest poll, and that could, you know, depending on how it plays out in the constituencies, because of course a national uniform swing never really happens, which is what you're talking about when you look at national polls. But you could see a Labour with a small majority. You could see the Conservatives reduced to a very, very small majority. Absolutely, Labour will always want to say they want an election. I don't think the Conservatives are going to give them one, quite frankly, and they have a large majority in the House of Commons, but they do need to sort out their leadership.
You know, we have the 1922 committee elections coming up. What are the likelihood is that they're going to change the rules and allow for that change of leadership to happen in the Conservative Party?
That is the thing that looks almost certain, quite frankly. And looking at the two recent by-elections all over the country, Conservatives with large majorities will be now anxious and thinking something must be better than this.
What do you think would be the support in the country for somebody to replace Boris Johnson with no election?
The war in Ukraine is a reason for not holding a general election immediately and the need to do something, particularly about the economy and about the cost of living crisis. But ultimately, and we're going to have a general election within the next roughly 2 years anyway, so I think they might be able to get away with that. But I think the bigger issue is that they've fundamentally damaged the brand. That is the challenge. And they've damaged the brand of politics. In our monthly poll where we ask people just what are the biggest problems facing the country, we now have a quarter of the electorate just saying spontaneously, without being prompted, the biggest problem in Britain is its own politicians, not any of the external crises or internal crises we face as a country. So it's just a reminder that this is corrosive, what we're seeing, and I think ultimately the Conservative Party will probably do something.
So that was Ben Page, CEO of Ipsos, speaking to us on Bloomberg Radio.
We're joined now by Douglas Chapman, who's Scottish National Party MP for Dunfermline and West Fife. Douglas, thank you very much for being with us on Bloomberg Radio. Are you gearing up now for a general election?
I think we're always ready for a general election. The febrile parliament that we've been in for quite some time now, one thing that we don't have is any sense of certainty. So, I think every party, including the SNP, will have plans in place just in case, somebody makes a decision to take the issue to the country.
Okay. Boris Johnson has survived numerous scandals before, and it looks as if sentiment has changed quite a lot since last night. I mean, Boris Johnson looks like he's going to survive.
Well, Boris could hang on. I think, as your previous contributor said, we always think that Boris would be dragged out of 10 Downing Street, kicking and screaming, and that's the only way that he will be removed. I think it really needs to be a decision for the Conservatives initially. 1922 committee is obviously being re-elected as we speak, and I think they might well go back to revisiting the decision that they made just last month on the vote of confidence in the Prime Minister. But they obviously need to change the rules within their own setup to allow that to happen. I think that's probably the most likely outcome, that Boris will be removed by his own party, but that just replaces one Conservative Prime Minister with another Conservative Prime Minister. And, it's, as we're coming up to the summer recess in Parliament, that would be a time to have that election and, come back to a fresh start in September with a new Prime Minister.
But what if they don't? I mean, what if Boris Johnson doesn't get ousted by his own party? What do you do then?
Well, I think that's the other thing. We've just heard from the pollsters saying that it's hugely damaging the brand for the Conservative Party across the country. We've just had two what have been horrendous by-elections. For the Conservatives in different parts of the country, one going to Labour, one going to Lib Dems. And, I think that's been reflected across a range of polls at the moment. But, Boris has a core support, but I think that's diminishing as every lie and every mistruth and every misstep is being accentuated. And the very fact, it's often the lying and the cover up and so on that erodes the faith in even your most fervent supporters. I think if Boris stays, then the Conservatives are on a very slippery slope in terms of electoral success in the future.
But what if there's an emergency budget? They slash taxes, corporate tax, VAT. Everything seems to be on the table with the new Chancellor.
Well, it could be. I think that's one of the things that the Chancellor will try to, replace the previous policies with ones that are a bit more popular, let's say. People are really struggling across the country at the moment with cost of living. If the Conservatives really wanted to change the whole mood, then, the Chancellor would need to make some fairly drastic changes in policy that actually were seen to be supporting people. Certainly in Scotland, we're hearing, for example, we'd all love to move to electric cars and things like that. But for those of us who are still on petrol and diesel cars, it's costing an absolute fortune to keep your car on the road and get to work and support your family as best you can. I think there's all those things that the Chancellor could look at in terms of VAT and personal taxation that would start to reverse that trend. But there's just a series of really things that are happening to Conservatives at the moment that's based on the personality of the Prime Minister and his lack of trustworthiness that lies at the heart. And then a new Prime Minister coming in might be able to take that mantle and make the policy changes that are a bit more popular.
Are you concerned, though, that if there's a sort of a budget that's going to end up costing the state an awful lot of money, that perhaps this could do long-term damage to the financial position of the UK as well?
Well, exactly, and that's the political choice that the government needs to make, and it's never probably never an easy task. But in saying that, it's if they want to stay in government. And that's the raison d'être of the Conservative Party. They want to always to be in power. So if they want to be in that position, then obviously they've got to bring in policies that may cost the country dearly in the longer term, but are short-term basis would be expedient in keeping them in power and maintaining a conservative government in the future.
Okay, but it's not just expedient. It's also about the fact that voters have seen an enormous slide in their wealth, in their incomes versus inflation. The cost of living is rising so rapidly. That would also be the key propeller for that. The question, though, can there be a new Conservative Prime Minister without there then being swiftly a general election afterwards, given the cost of living crisis?
Well, I think that is the most likely scenario, to be honest. While we'd all want that change of government in many respects, or the ability to get rid of this current government, unless they're going to make some serious changes to economic policy. I think that's probably the most likely outcome. I mean, the Conservatives at the moment are sitting on roughly an 80-seat majority. And if there was a new Prime Minister coming in, would he or she take that to the country and take the risk of going for an immediate general election? And in Scotland as well, you know, that could mean that not only would the Conservatives have the potential to lose the government, but they'd also possibly lose the union, because we're fighting the next election on the basis that it's a de facto referendum, unless we have a proper referendum in place.
And would the SNP...
You know, there's an awful lot at stake in calling a general election at this time.
Well, what would the SNP be willing to do after a general election to get that referendum? Would you go into government with Labour?
Well, the Labour have made it very clear that they do not want to do any deals either before or after the election. Keir Starmer said in the last 48 hours that he doesn't even want to speak to the SNP. So, you know, I think
maybe you could reach out and hand a friendship.
Well, we would certainly try, and I think that we need to come with a whole range of conditions, regarding that referendum that we are looking for. So there'd be a political price for Starmer to pay, should he want that outcome to, or should he want us to support him across his programme of government.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's where we are with that.
Bloomberg Westminster. Listen weekdays at noon on DAB Digital Radio in London.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Ron Kruszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. Financial advisors, let's face it, if you're not growing your practice, you're losing market share. Stifel is a growing, entrepreneurial, advisor-centric firm built for successful advisors like you. There's a reason why 148 financial advisors joined Stifel last year. Come join us and find out why Stifel is the firm where success meets success. Visit www.choosestifel.com.
Stifel Nicolaus and Company Incorporated, member SIPC and NYSE.